Five cases of the latest COVID variant, Omicron, have now been confirmed in Australia after a case was discovered in the Northern Territory earlier today. The Health Minister, Greg Hunt, says the nation's vaccination rates puts Australia in a good position to respond to the variant.
We're in a vastly different position from where we were on the 1st of February 2020. We are one of the most highly vaccinated, one of the most recently vaccinated, and one of the first to commence a whole-of-nation booster program from around the world.
For more on Australia's preparation to deal with this variant, I spoke earlier with Dr. Chris Moy, who's the Vice President of the Australian Medical Association. I started by asking him how concerned he was that there are now, well, there were at the time of interview, three cases in two different cities. There are now five.
Well, there's obviously a chance, unfortunately, that we actually have more cases that we don't know about. So there is a level of concern, but there are still so many unknowns about the variant at the moment. And we really do need to, as much as possible, slow down time, if I could put it that way, by doing what we need to do so we can actually have that time to work out where we stand with this variant and whether it actually poses a significant threat.
The Northern Territory Deputy Chief Health Officer says it's business as usual at their quarantine facility. Is that the right approach, especially if there could be more cases among those on the same flight?
Well, Northern Territory is probably in a better position than many other places because they do have Howard Springs, which is probably an ideal place for it to be at the moment. What one would be more concerned about continuing hotel type quarantine if this Omicron variant does turn out to be a threat, and that, you know, if it's more infectious than Delta was having a real ability to break out of hotel quarantine over time, as we saw. So if this is actually more infectious, then it's going to be not such a great thing, and it probably is something that National Cabinet does need to consider in the longer term about having a national strategy in terms of having quarantine facilities which are dedicated and outside the city so that we can actually quarantine in a much better way should we have to face threats from variants like this in the future.
The Federal Health Minister, Greg Hunt, said Australia is vastly better prepared for Omicron than the overwhelming majority of the world. Do you agree?
I think we are, in fact. Although, you know, really at the moment, we're in a great position because we have vaccinated very quickly up to a very high level at this stage. And it's relatively newly minted in terms of the majority of the population being really quite recently vaccinated, and also those who were vaccinated at the start already having the chance to have their booster doses. Having said that, we really can't be complacent, as we really need some time to work out whether this new variant is in fact more infectious, but more importantly, more serious in terms of causing more serious disease and potentially can evade our vaccines. So we do still need to hope for the best, but prepare for the worst. And I think a hard and fast strategy at this stage seems absolutely reasonable while we buy time to work out where we stand.
And are you confident of the strategy Australia is currently embarking on? And the sentiment of some of the premiers, particularly, of course, the New South Wales Premier, Dominic Perrottet, he talks about living alongside the variants. Is that reasonable that we, you know, don't look back in time and go down to the very hard line approach, but just pivot and nuance that approach?
What I would say is that we don't need to be at this stage totally panicking about the situation with Omicron, because we do need to work out whether it is in fact more serious and whether it can evade our vaccines. But having said that, we should be taking a cautious approach, and we can't go into denial. I think overall the best strategy has been to be hard and fast in our approach early and then buy time to work out where we stand.
On South Australia, the state branch of the AMA are calling for international and interstate arrivals to be barred until more is known about the virus. Is that the view of the federal AMA?
South Australia's just opened up, and it still probably has an opportunity to cut this off if it turns out to be significant. We don't, unfortunately, have a very good overall national strategy for this, and if each state is in a different position, which gets back to the AMA's position all along, that it would be nice if we could depoliticise everything, be consistent, and also have a National Centres for Disease Control advising all the states in a much more consistent way so everybody can feel comforted that we are basing this on science and a proper risk assessment.
Have the South Australian AMA then perhaps jumped the gun if it's perhaps too premature to really understand where we're at with this Omicron variant?
Well, I mean, I am in South Australia and I know the AMA South Australia president, and I think it's an absolute reasonable call from her point of view at the moment, given where we stand. As I said, we're in a good position being able to, having no cases at this point in time, to be able to shut that door. But overall, I think what we really need to see is overall, in the longer term, a good national approach and a more consistent approach, which is based on science, rather than having quite extremely different views across the different states, which I think sometimes actually does undermine confidence because of the inconsistency.
Are you concerned Australia could shut internally once again?
Well, I think that we're a fair way from that, because we really do need to find out where we stand with Omicron. Ultimately, with Omicron, we need to know three things. Is it more infectious? Is it more serious? Or if we're lucky, is it actually less serious? And does it beat our vaccines? And the best thing we can do at the moment is buy some time, just slow everything down to actually work out where we stand with this.
Labor's Shadow Health Minister Mark Butler says if health advice suggests hotel quarantine is needed, Australia is not well equipped due to a lack of purpose-built quarantine facilities around the country. As a medical doctor, do you share those concerns?
Well, the AMA's position, in fact, is that we should have a coordinated set of dedicated quarantine facilities, which are going to be potentially able to be used in situations like this when we do need to buy that little bit of time to work out where we stand, particularly. Over time, Delta was going to beat our hotels, and it did, unfortunately. And ultimately, it's so infectious that if this case, for example, Omicron, turns out to be even more infectious, I don't think hotel quarantine appears to be a very good option. A dedicated strategy of dedicated quarantine facilities seemed absolutely appropriate.
At this stage, Australians flying home from southern Africa have to quarantine, which can be completed in their home. Does that need to change, or do you think that's reasonable?
Well, I think ideally they would be at this stage quarantined in dedicated facilities. That would make sense at the moment, given the concern about how infectious this is. Because obviously one of the concerns is how infectious this new strain is, while we work out where we stand with it. And I think the authorities are trying to get to the point of working out whether we can have a consistent approach to international arrivals.
Greg Hunt has asked Atagi for advice on whether booster shots should be brought forward. Full disclosure, I tried to get mine earlier than my 6 months when I heard about Omicron. Are you worried people in some parts of the country could get their third jab while others are still yet to even get their second?
I think there's still a fair bit of capacity for people to get their first shots. The biggest concern is actually maintaining momentum for the booster program in the medium term over the next few months. What is happening at the moment is that the mass vaccination clinics, which are primarily run by state, are really starting to close down. They're very, very expensive and personnel intensive, and the states are really wanting to get as many staff back to the front line as possible in terms of caring for patients. I understand also that within pharmacy there's been a decline in vaccination, because I think they have found how hard it is to deal with these multi-dose vials. And I think from the point of view of general practice, we're extremely worried, because there's actually a reduction in resourcing for GPs to provide the vaccines, a drop of about 25% in funding for GPs to do this. Now, while that might not seem a lot, it's about $24, and it's for each shot. Now, it is extremely expensive for general practitioners. It's essentially been a loss-making exercise for most GPs, who have done incredibly well to vaccinate the majority of the population. And I'm getting quite a lot of responses that this is unsustainable for them, because they really are having trouble maintaining staff, as well as rent for the special clinics that they have to run, and also the very, very significant administration and practical handling issues with the multi-dose vials. So at the moment, there is concern that we're going to lose momentum. And if it turns out that we really do need to get those boosters in arms, that would be exactly the wrong thing. And then we could be heading into troubled waters, much like has happened in Europe with the real sort of stagnation of the vaccine program, particularly the booster programs there.
Internationally, the South African president wants travel bans lifted immediately after dozens of nations blacklisted South Africa and neighbouring countries. The World Health Organization's Africa chief says the move attacks global solidarity. What are your thoughts on the way this has been handled?
Yeah, unfortunately, that's been the case all along, and the level of coordination has always got down to a matter of, in the end, protecting individuals, countries, and individual populations. The one thing I would say that would have been really good, and I think more important amongst all of this, is the bit that's forgotten, is really making sure we vaccinate the rest of the world and really putting an effort into that and having some solidarity in that. Now, I understand within South Africa, the issue there has not necessarily just been a lack of vaccines, but maybe, unfortunately, a concerted effort by certain groups to actually promote an anti-vax campaign. I understand there's been some evangelical groups that have actually been pushing that. But on the other hand, there are countries within Africa where there has been a very poor supply of vaccines. And that's an area where solidarity would have been far more useful earlier on. And Australia, for example, has, I understand, provided about 15% of all the vaccines that it's promised for overseas countries. And really, while that's good that we're starting to do that, we really need to get them out, because this is a worldwide pandemic and we really need to close it down across the world to stop it being able to fester and unfortunately then develop these new mutations, which could, may or may not be causing more threat to us.
That's Dr. Chris Moy. He's the Vice President of the Australian Medical Association. And this is RN Drive.